All right, so I was just talking to Tyler this morning that we're going to be in a pretty familiar passage of Scripture. And that always makes me a little bit nervous, right? Because sometimes we hit a familiar passage of Scripture and we just tend to kind of just check out a little bit. And I don't want us to do that. And so, man, we're going to bring a little bit of the marriage retreat to Sunday morning. And we're also just going to talk about some, I think, super important things. And man, Vinny, I think that's like the third time I've heard you share your testimony. And I'm always on the edge of my seat, man. Because it's a reminder of my testimony. I was not that, but man, Jesus Christ saved my soul. And I'm so grateful. And I couldn't help but think, I bet there's somebody here going, man, I want to do big things for God. Man, I want to, why can't God use me? Exactly. Why can't God use you? Right? And so, man, we're gonna have a little bit of fun. I'm gonna ask you to turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. I told you, familiar passage of Scripture. And man, I just want to talk about just a couple things. Mike said he's been using a whiteboard. I'm like, oh man, can I get in on the fun? And so, man, I'm just gonna write on the whiteboard. Do not make fun of my handwriting or my spelling. You get what you get, and you cannot throw a fit. Right? I think we all understand something. God's got a mission, right? It's God's mission. And we're going to look at that here very, very quickly. But we know when we get on mission with the Lord, when God's at work in our lives, we say, okay, I'm in submission to what God would have me to do. Then, man, as soon as I get on task for God's mission, you need to understand that Satan also has a mission. Right? Satan, I don't know why I keep putting an S on that. That's weird. Right? God has a mission. Satan has a mission. Hey guys, I'm telling you what, we're gonna wrap this up with my mission. What does God have for me, right? So we're gonna get into all those things, but that's where we're headed, all right. And so if you're into taking notes, I don't have a study sheet for you. I'm not nothing up on the screen. It's gonna be in your Bible, on your notes, or on the whiteboard. Okay. So Genesis chapter 2 is where we're gonna launch off here. But man, if you're taking notes, you might want to write this down. Your submission is required. Because if you're going to get on board with God's mission, it's going to require your submission. Oh, by the way, if you're going to get on board with Satan's mission, it's going to require your submission. And if you're actually going to do what God would have you to do, it's going to require your submission. And you need to understand something. You are in submission to something or someone already today. Is that the Lord, yourself, or something else, or someone else? Sorry, I'm fired up. I'm excited. I've been thinking about this stuff and chewing on it. I haven't even introduced my wife. She's over there. She hates it when I draw attention to her, so just wave. That's Kara. That's Kara. You can call her that. I call her Joe. I call her my jalapeno sunrise. And what was the name of that coffee over there? Southern Pecan. I told her, I said, that might be your new name. But she's my jalapeno sunrise. She's spicy as jalapeno, beautiful as a sunrise. She's my jalapeno sunrise, but I call her Joe. All right, so Genesis chapter 2, very familiar passage of Scripture. But man, if we're going to be on God's mission, it's going to require our submission to His authority. That's exactly what it's going to require. So I'm going to bring a little bit of the marriage retreat in. So Friday night, Kara and I popped up and we shared our testimonies, how we met Christ, and we kind of worked through some passages of Scripture here in Genesis chapter 2. And I just kind of want to let everybody in on kind of what we talked about in Genesis chapter 2. Check out verse 7. Genesis chapter 2 in verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Can you imagine being Adam? You're nothing but a lump of clay. And God forms you up, and he's like, I just picture like a statue, like Bill Clinton, right? It's better looking, right? And so I can just imagine, he's like a little statue of clay, and then just God breathes into his nostrils the breath of life, and Adam is face to face with God himself, with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what I believe is Christ. A spitting image. Because Adam is the first Christ, right? Jesus Christ is the last Adam. I believe they were a perfect reflection of God himself. And so, man, that's what it's going to take. So if you want to get on God's mission, I'm telling you what, it's going to matter about your reflection. Your reflection matters. And it's going to require your submission. It's going to require your submission to be who God made you to be. Who did God make you to be? Listen, sometimes we can hear somebody pop up like Vinny and think, man, I'm not like that. I don't talk like that. People drive me insane and I'm more of an introvert and all those different things. Wait a second. How did God make you? Quit trying to be somebody else. Amen? How about we just be who God made us to be? It's going to require, man, if you want to get on God's mission, it starts off with God saying, no, your reflection matters because your reflection is important to the mission. So you need to be in submission to who God made you to be. And so many times we live our lives trying to impress somebody else or trying to bring in somebody else's reflection. I want to dress like somebody else. I want to talk like somebody else. I want to act like somebody else. I want to put my makeup on like somebody else. No. How about be who God made you to be? So here's a couple questions I want you to consider. Am I pretending to be someone I'm not? Am I pretending to be someone I'm not? Or am I refusing to be who God made me to be? I just want you to chew on that. Because that's how God's mission starts. It starts off with a man in the reflection in the mirror is Christ. We ought to be conformed to the image of Christ. All right, so skip over to verse 15 then. Verse 15 says this. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now, I don't know what that looks like, but the Bible's very specific. It says he took the man and he placed him in the Garden of Eden. So this man that he's breathed in the nostrils, the breath of life, is now staring God face to face. And God just says, come with me. And just picks him up and drops him into the Garden of Eden. In other words, hey, Adam, I've got a job for you to do. And it starts off in your reflection. I need you to be like me in my image. But if you're going to accomplish the job I have for you, then you need to be in submission to your residence. Where I serve. My residence is important to the mission. Man, I can't stress that enough. You need to be in submission to where God leads you to be. Not where you want to be. Man, so many of us, myself at times, we're just not settled. We're never settled. We're always looking for something better. We're always looking for a different surrounding. And I want you to notice something. Adam's residence is not where he was created. It's not where you think your roots are. God moved Adam away from where he was originally made. You know, in order for Vinny and Megan to accomplish God's mission, they cannot do that in Ohio. They have to go to Kosovo. And there ain't nobody else there. Are you willing to relocate? Are you willing to move? Are you willing to stay? Because God's mission matters, man. And you bet your reflection better be right, but you better be in submission to where God would have you to be. It was hard for us to move to Texas. It was a difficult thing. I'll be honest, it was hard to move back to Iola, Kansas. I didn't want to go. But I know that's where God would have me to be. Bo and Carrie, men. This isn't where your roots are, but this is where your roots are. That's how it is, man. You guys are driving, what, almost an hour, just over an hour to get here? That's amazing to me. No one does that. Weirdos do that. That fires me up. That's exciting. We have people drive 40 minutes. We have people drive 30 minutes. I don't know if we have anybody driving an hour. That's pretty amazing. Stay in verse 15 because at the end of verse 15 it says he put him there to dress it and to keep it. So he needs to be in submission to how God wants him to serve. I got another word for you. It's responsibility. This is where my spelling gets in big trouble. Responsibility. Is that right? Nope. Responsibility. Responsibility. Right? That matters. Responsibility. Because your responsibility is important to the mission. Listen, we're not all called to pastor. We're not all called to be missionaries. Some of us, you just need to learn to what it means to reproduce yourself and make a disciple. Start there. Some of us are called to work in children's ministry. Some are working in AV. You name it. We all have something God's called us. This still is messed up. Right, you get it. You get it. You can write it down yourself. Listen, you got to be in submission to what God would have you to do. Not always what you want to do. Not what you feel comfortable doing. What did God tell you to do? Listen, public speaking makes you want to vomit. I don't like it. You want to sit down at the table and chat? That's great. Let's sit in the living room and drink coffee. I'm your dude. Standing up in front of people freaks me out, man. I want to throw up every single time. And when God says, hey, I'm leading you towards pastoring, I fought it, man. I didn't want to do that. Because the pastor I had fell. I didn't want to be that dude. Other examples, I'm like, I don't want to do that. Or I can't live up to that. It's not who God made me be. No, this is the responsibility God gave me. It's to pastor. I'm the senior pastor of Harvest Baptist Church in Iola, Kansas. But does that mean I will always be the senior pastor of Harvest Baptist Church in Iola, Kansas? No. It doesn't always mean that. If the Lord tarries, maybe somebody else takes that. And I stay or I do something else. But my location determines what I do and how I do it. That's important to get. Now, verse 18 says it's not good for the man to be alone. I'll make a helpmeet. And in verses 21 and 22, you see the Lord causes Adam to fall into his deep sleep. And he brings this woman to him. And so, man, this is important as well. Your relationships need to be in submission to God's mission. Your relationships. Your relationships matter, man. Your closest friends, that honey that's sitting by your side, these things matter in the mission, don't they? God's like, I got a special job for Adam to do. We'll see that in chapter 1, verse 28, here rather quickly. But he can't do any of that unless his reflection's right, because we got to reproduce what we want to reproduce, right? He's got to do it in the right place where God would have him do it, to dress and to keep it in the garden. But he can't do that on his own. Hello, dudes. Stop that. You can't do it on your own. Your relationship better be right. Submitting to be with who God leads you to serve with. He needed a woman. He needed Eve. Right? That's exactly who he needed. So, hear this. Singles, marry well. Man, marry well. I pray that for my kids. I pray that for my son. Man, God can be all over him and he marry an idiot and it's over, man. Disqualify him. I don't want that. Marry well. God brought her to him. And I'm not talking about having relationships with various people because you don't want to be lonely. You ever met people like that? They've always got somebody in their arm. There's always got somebody because they can't stand the idea of being alone. Well, maybe you just need to be right with the Lord. How about that? How about that? Oh, by the way, not with somebody who's not your spouse. How about that too? Like that couple that got caught at Coldplay concert. How about that? How about that? Singles, let me talk to you singles. Don't be cheating on your future spouse. God's got something in mind for you. Or maybe God's called you to singleness. Embrace that. But do not cheat on your future spouse. Don't be giving something to somebody that does not belong to them. Amen? Amen. This is super important. All right, marriage retreat is over. Let's move on. Because this is super important to get. God has done a marvelous work already. He's created everything. He's restored the planet. He's got a man who's in the right reflection, the right residence, having the right responsibilities, in a right relationship, man. Everything is good. Everything is golden. Chapter 3, verse 1 shows up, doesn't it? Who shows up on the scene? Satan, right? He shows up. He's got something to say. Now, this is important to get. Let me just do a little Bible study just for a moment, or just remind us of a couple things. I need you to remember the theme of the Bible. What's the theme of the Bible? It's a battle for a kingdom, isn't it? In the very beginning, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, God has this thing going. He's got Lucifer, the anointed cherub, who's over it all, and he's the king. God's kingdom, the spiritual and the physical kingdom, are in Lucifer's hands. Well, he fails, doesn't he? Every steward of God's kingdom fails, and God always has to replace it with a new steward, doesn't he? And so, sure enough, well, now God's kingdom is now passed on to Adam. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 says this, "And God blessed them," Adam and Eve, "and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply," and what's the word? Replenish. How can you replenish something if it hadn't been plenished? Right? So it says, replenish the earth. So, and then later on, we'll see, God tells them, hey, I want you to freely eat of every tree of the garden. Their Bible's 2 verses long. Eat as much as you want, except for this tree. Eat as much as you want, and get busy, make babies. That's their whole mission. Get busy, make babies, and eat as much as you want. Dudes can get behind that, can't we? It's like, that sounds like a great idea. That sounds like a good plan. Well, Satan comes in and he destroys it. Satan comes in and says, no, I want to step in here. But I want you to see this in verse 28. He says, I want you to be fruitful, I want you to multiply. All right, that requires a right image. It requires a right mission field. It requires a daily relationship with the Lord and a responsibility of what God's called you to do. And it also requires a right relationship. So if you're like, hey, I want to do what Vinny's doing. I want to do what Pastor Mike's doing. I want to do what the Sunday school teachers are doing. Okay, then. Get in the right image of God. Let's start there. Where does God want me to be? What role does he want me to be in? Place. What role does he want me to be in? And what relationship do I need to have? Do some relationships need to go? Because you know what Satan's mission is? His sole mission is to steal, kill, and destroy. And you know how Satan attacks? His tactic is not a direct assault on Adam's image. It's not a direct assault on his mission field. It's not even a direct assault on his responsibility or even on his marriage. You know how Satan attacks? His tactic is to watch Adam and Eve do that to themselves by getting them to change their authority. That's all he does. Chapter 3 in verse 1. Check this out. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now we can unpack a whole lot of things here. But I need you to get something here now. Because now Satan is slipping in. And he comes to Eve. Notice he doesn't come to Adam. Who's he come to? He comes to her. Why? Because God gave the original commandment to Adam. I want you to be fruitful, multiply. I want you to replenish the earth. I want you to freely eat of every tree of the garden. Eve was not there to hear any of that. Adam's responsibility is to pass that word down. And who does Satan attack? He always attacks the preserved word of God, doesn't he? He always comes to the preserved word. That's Eve. She's a picture of the preserved word of God. And it's always questioning what God said. And so listen, if you're going to get with Satan's mission, some of us have done this. We're already here. Some of us are here right now. Satan wants us to become the authority on what God said. Y'all hear me? That's what's happening in verse 1. Is that really what God said? What's Satan doing? He's getting Eve to think that she's the authority on what God said. That's what's happening. Now check out verses 2 and 3. He says, "And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Uh-oh, we got a problem here. Because now Satan wants us to submit to our interpretation of what the Bible says. Because now Eve begins to interpret Scripture. Check this out. She's like, so Satan says, hey, can we eat of every tree of the garden? And then verse 2, she says, well, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. What she do? She leaves out the word freely, doesn't she? It's gone. But then notice this, verse 3. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. God never said that. They're supposed to be dressing and keeping the garden, aren't they? God never said you can't touch it. You know what I believe happened? Now, I can't prove this. This is just my assumption. I believe the idea was, man, we need to make a tradition. You know, how are we going to protect ourselves from eating that tree? You know, if we never touch it. If we never touch it, we'll never eat of it. Isn't that what Christians do? Isn't that what religion does? It takes the Word of God and it adds to it. And now we become the authority of the Word of God. Now, this is what's crazy. Because our interpretations allow us now to set our own boundaries. And I'm telling you, when you start getting on mission, that's where the attack starts happening. Finney, Megan, I'm telling you, when you get on Kosovo, and you get on the field and you start doing your thing, and you're studying your Bible, there's going to be a little tinge in you to question some of the things you've been taught. It's just going to happen. I'm just telling you, when you're the guy, when you're in charge, you start, is that really what it says? I think it really says, no, hold on. What does God's word say? Not what's your interpretation of what it says. So be mindful of that. It's coming. And so our interpretations allow us to set our own boundaries, and that's a dangerous thing because check this out. Verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So now, what's he saying? Now, Eve, I need you to understand that you need to be the authority on what God meant. Isn't that how the New Age goes? Your new versions are? It's not on what God said, it's on what God means. Well, what does that mean to you? Well, here's what it really meant here. No, Satan wants Adam and Eve to become the authority on what's happening. Notice, Satan is talking to Eve the whole time, and where's Adam? He ain't off in another field. The Bible says he's right there with her. Right there with her, allowing her to be the guinea pig. That's crazy. Verse 6, it says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, lust of the flesh, and that it was pleasant to the eyes," lust of the eyes, "and a tree to be desired to make one wise," pride of life. What'd she do? What's the very next thing she did? She touched it! She touched it. You see, her authority was her own interpretation. And when you set the boundaries, you are now able to move the boundaries. And when her authority was not on what God said, but in her interpretation of what God said, man, she broke her authority and she touched the fruit. Oh, I thought, no, that was your interpretation. As she touched the fruit and she did eat and gave also unto her husband, where's he? With her. And he did eat. Satan wants us to submit to the authority of our perception of God's word. Listen, Eve wanted something she already had, man. She thinks God's holding out on her. And her authority is now in her tradition and her interpretation of what God's word says. And she breaks her tradition and it destroys her. And her husband was passive. A weak leader. Do you know how many Christians end up right here? They know what God would, they know what God's mission is to reproduce sons of God all over the planet. And they know God's put them in a specific place somewhere on this planet to hold down the fort. I'm going to do that in Monmouth. I'm going to do it in Iola, Kansas. I'm going to do that in Kosovo. I'm going to do that in my workplace. I'm going to do that in my neighborhood. Well, that's great. God's given you a job to do. And you're going to do it. And that's going to be awesome. But Satan's going to do everything he can to get you to change your authority away from God to yourself. When you become the authority, you will face plant every single time. You fall flat on your face. Then isn't it convenient? Isn't it convenient? When you really want to do what you want to do, how many believers do you know do this? They're no longer walking with Jesus. And they're no longer walking with Jesus because they want to do what they want to do. And then you know what their excuse is? Well, I just don't believe in God anymore. Isn't that convenient? Because the very next thing you're doing is walking according to the lust of your flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And when you become the authority, you remove the authority, and you can feel comfortable in it. And maybe, just maybe, that's you. And maybe, just maybe, that's you're here today and you don't even know Christ as your Savior. You are your own authority. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, when you are not in submission to God's mission, you are in submission to your own authority, it's going to ruin your life. Go to chapter 5 and verse 3. Because what happens? What happens when we become our own authority? What happens when I submit and it looks like I'm in submission, it looks like I'm doing right things, it's going to change some things. Check out chapter 5 and verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own what? His own likeness, his own image, after his image, and called his name Seth. You know what just happened? When your authority changes, your reflection changes. The reflection changed. It's no longer God's image being passed down. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 is no longer valid anymore. Now what's being passed down is a fallen image. And every single one of us were born into that fallen image. And we need a Savior, Jesus Christ. Now go to chapter 3 again. Look at verse 23. Look at verse 23. He says, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden, the very place he'd put him. God sends him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and he placed at the east Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword. What'd it do? Changed his residence. He's no longer where God told him to be. Go to chapter 3, verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, authority, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, curses the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall bring forth unto thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Verse 19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. What happens now? Changed his responsibility, didn't it? He can no longer dress and keep the garden because he's out of it. And now he has to bust his tail with the sweat of his brow. Oh, go to chapter 3, verse 20. Chapter 3, verse 20, it says, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. She didn't have a name until that day. Until that moment. Because it changes their relationship now. He's no longer married to himself. We'll look at that here in a second. He's now married to Eve, the mother of all living, except we just proved something. She's not the mother of all living. She's a mother of all the living dead. So she is. Because death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so Adam renames his wife. She gets a new identity. I think he's trying to probably speak some life into her because she feels like trash. I don't know. I can't prove that. But that is not God's name for them. Go to chapter 5, verse 2. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name what? Adam. God did not give her the name Eve. God gave her the name Adam. Because they're yoked together as one. An equal yoke. And now, reflections changed, residence has changed, the responsibilities changed, and the relationship has changed. Oh no! Now what? What are we going to do? We need help. Amen? We all need help. And some of us, this is where we are now. Every bit of this is a mess because we're not in submission to God's authority. We've been in submission to our own authority this whole time. So you need Jesus, don't you? Am I the only one in the house? We need Jesus, don't we? We absolutely need him. So where's Christ? Well, he's in chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. When Adam laid down his life for his bride, that's Jesus. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. There was Jesus when he laid down his life for his bride. How about chapter 3 in verse 8? Check out chapter 3 in verse 8. It says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden of the in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees. And what's he say in verse 9? Adam, where art thou? Where art thou? Jesus is in the Word who searches for the lost. Vinny already said it. They have to hear. They have to hear the truth. They can't get saved. You got to hear the gospel. And so when we are separation from God, what do we need? We need the Word of God. We need somebody to come. It's the living Word of God. His name is Jesus. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. That's Jesus. How about verse 15? He said, God says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Where's Christ? He's in the seed, born of a virgin. That's where he's at. Luke chapter 1, verse 31 says, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth the son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. It's a prophecy of Christ. How about chapter 3 and verse 21? It says, unto Adam and unto his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. I believe those are lambskins, according to Proverbs 27. The lambs are for thy clothing. Jesus is the lamb who clothes us. And it covers our fallen image so it can be restored unto him. John chapter 1, verse 36. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the whole world. You're here today and you do not know Christ. You are separated from God. You can be saved today. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, just like it was prophesied in chapter 3 and verse 15. He lived a sinless life. He laid down his life for us. Mike already laid that out for us. He rose again the third day, and you can be clothed and washed in his blood. Amen? All right, now. So I'm landing the plane. We'll be done in just a hot second. What about me then? Because you might be saying, Tony, I am saved, but I've been playing this game. I've been doing my own authority for quite some time. And I'm sick of it. What about me? What happens now? Well, your mission needs to be submission. That's what it needs to be. Your mission needs to be submission. What does that mean? I'm talking about restoration. That's what I'm talking about. Let me give the definition we had of restoration at our marriage retreat. Restoration is when a hardened heart submits to God's heart. That's restoration. When a hard heart submits to God's heart, that's restoration. Or so make your mission submission, be restored to Christ. What does that mean? What does that look like? I get to be in submission to be who God made me to be. Amen? My reflection needs to get right. I get to be in submission to who God made me to be, even if that means I'll never be who I was. You need to get that. Sometimes we have scars in life. Sometimes we make some poor decisions. Right here, we make some poor decisions, and we have some scars, don't we? Restoration does not always mean you get to be back to who you were. Adam and Eve didn't get that. But God can change your reflection. It may not be who you used to be. You need to submit to be where God leads you to be. Right here, your residence. Where does God want me to be? Even if that looks completely different than where I was. Sometimes I think we get this idea that we can get it all back. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. But we also need to submit to serve how God would have us to serve. Even if it's harder than it used to be. And oh man, we need to be in submission to serve with who God leads me to serve with. Even if it means a different version of you, by the way. I love this. Married in just over a month. See what God's doing in your life? Reflections change because you're looking like Him. I have a feeling God's probably going to change your residence, just letting you know that. Your responsibilities are going to change. But you're choosing to be yoked up with each other. That's pretty amazing. Because you can be a submission to God's authority. And there's no better place to be. Isn't that beautiful? Man, that fires me up. So restoration, guys, Mike, I'm going to turn this over to you. Restoration is not getting back to where I was. It's not. Restoration is getting back into submission to God's will. That's restoration. That is so simple, isn't it? I was so nervous to preach that passage. But, man, I needed that. I needed that. It's so simple. My mission is submission. Amen. Thank you, guys.